American Giant makes great clothing, t-shirts, jeans, and more right here in the U.S., creating jobs in towns and cities across the country. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well met, fellow adventurers. We are once again back with Sir Croakington, and we will be continuing with Proving Ground 6, The Elder Throne, which is presumably what the Grand Sentry is sitting upon while being just generally a bad guy. Anyway, the current scenario is called The Ghost Patrol. We shall begin. At the conclusion of the previous part, Omrelik turns and whispers something to a young man standing just over his left shoulder. The young man immediately nods and rushes off, darting up a narrow set of wooden steps set against the back wall of the cellar. He disappears out of sight somewhere up above, and Omrelik looks back at you. "Wait here, he must be near to exhaustion," he says, glancing around the others present. Obviously seeking someone in particular. "I'll have food and drink brought to you. There's much to be done. But before any of that, you and I must talk. There are things I would very much like to know. Things you need to know." We'll sort all that out momentarily. As Omrelik moves off, taking two other men with him, you take a seat at the cluttered table near the middle of the room. Relieved to at last remove the strain from your legs. Just twice as much strain, because Sir Token has twice as much legs. As you relax your weary limbs, Owl's final haunting words repeat amidst a jumble of thoughts churning in your head. "You have them! You have them! Run! Don't stop!" Your heart skips a beat as the meaning of your companion's last words suddenly dawn on you. Hopefully you dig through your belongings. Searching for the leather-bound journal you've gone to great pains to protect for so long. There, tucked in with the book you discovered hidden beneath the floor, the five knots in Invincible are two similar texts, each bound in leather and each filled with page upon page of the same code of intricate symbols. You now possess all three of the journals. The very books that the young mage, Coeth, was supposed to put to use. A plan suddenly waged when he met an untimely demise in the bone pit. The very prison from which you were able to effect Owl's rescue. You stare down at the three journals and vow you will not let the information they contain die, along with the man whose mission to retrieve them has, in a way you could not. Possibly as conceived, ultimately reached its conclusion. As you catch sight of Olmec making his way towards you, with a steaming bowl clutched in his large hands, you carefully replace the journals in amongst your other possessions. You've no immediate desire to make known the timely gifts bestowed upon you by a trusted companion so recently departed. So at the very moment you make another silent and solemn vow, if indeed Termithra, the Witch of Cardassian, yet lives. Well, a normal person would have died in that, but she's in no way, in any way normal. So presumably she's a heck of a lot tougher. And I wouldn't put it past her to know a little bit of necromancy as well. So she could just, you know, be a lich. And then we can kill her all over again. Rejoice! You will see the cruel death of your friend and companion avenged. And now, your respite in the cellar proves short-lived. Omrelik tells you that as tunnels below have been compromised by the enemy, It won't be long until they discover this place, the base from which the Wabble have launched their most recent endeavours against the Sorcerer Lord of Cardson. The white-haired Omwek, his thick arms and broad shoulders betraying what you presume to be an immense reserve of physical might, reveals that Al related to him a great deal about you. You're puzzled as to how this might have happened, owing to your companion's untimely demise in the tunnels, but you have little reason to doubt this. You need to drink this, he says, removing a stoppered vial from a leather bag at his side. A thick black liquid swirls about inside the vessel, and already is pungent. The unappealing aroma is very much, is nearly enough to make you gag. Make you gag. It tastes much worse than it smells, I'm afraid. But it helps you ward off the magic that keeps the west of the city docile. Without it, you'll soon find yourself at the mercy of those unwilling to extend you such courtesy. You take hold of the vial and carefully study the thick liquid that seems to perpetually swirl inside the narrow container. Omlek is called away to speak with two men who have just come down from the cellar, leaving you alone with the strange elixir. So, basically there's two choices. Drink it or not. Alright. So, I've got four options to have a look at it first. Divination, woodmanship, arcania, and thievery. Random.org has gone and made me chose number one. So, divination. Succeeded. 8 XP to divination. You do not sense anything sinister with regard to Morwek or the vial it's given you. While you're relatively certain it's not any sort of poison, you're not sure what sort of effect drinking it may have. Alright, I'm going to drink it. If Owl trusts these people, I trust them. Of course, are they the people Owl told me to trust? It's not like he's there to verify, but... Yeah, no, I'll take it. I'll take the whisk. Drink the black liquid in the vial. I mean, if it was bad, I'd have picked it up. Drink the black liquid. Omelette's words ring true. You wince and nearly gag as the thick, foul-tasting black liquid rolls out of the vial and slivers down your throat. Thankfully, there's very little of it to swallow, and within only a few moments, the vessel has been drained. The white-haired leader of the Wabble soon returns to your side. You hand him the empty vial. Omwek places the empty vial into a leather bag at his side, and then bluntly asks if you're in possession of the three journals. The question catches you off guard, though you fully expected to face it at some point. Without a second thought, you reply in the affirmative, and nods and tells you to keep them safe. Those who hold on to them and must guard them with your life. He says, any hope we have left is scrawled across the pages of those troublesome books. Not yet known if we will ever be able to make use of them, but it remains at least a lone hope to that end. We shall see. We shall hope and pray, and ultimately, we shall see. You must not make mention of the journals to anyone. They were known to Al, of course, and they're known to me. Few others share this confidence, for these are uncertain days. Friend and foe are not as easy to discern as once they were. Follow me. You walk behind the bulky, white-haired man as he leads you to a door on the far side of the cellar. He opens it and quickly ushers you into a dark passage beyond. We'll be near the street soon, he says, as you feel the passage gradually begin to slope upwards. The place we're heading to has always been safer, Croakington, and I hope all is still well there. For it isn't, I'm afraid that I'm stuck to find another such spot. The passage comes to an end at a rusted iron gate, which Omelette promptly moves to the side. With the two of you have passed through the circular opening it covered, he once again puts the heavy object back in place. Then you continue along the sloping and ever-widening corridor until it levels out and becomes what you recognise to be a dry sewer tunnel. "Right up there," he says, pointing ahead to a set of crumbling stone steps lead up to a shadowy arch. "Just a bit more." The ascent proves treacherous, but you manage to retain your footing on the ancient stair. After reaching the top and passing through the arch, you find yourself in a small alcove at the foot of a wooden ladder that stretches up into darkness up ahead. You reach out to touch the ladder, curious to discover how sturdy it might prove to be. But your companion is quick to snatch your hand away. "Take care of that," he says sternly. Almlak tells you the ladder is protected with magic. "Grand Sentry isn't the only source work in the city," he says, a somewhat triumphant tone. "But I'll be the first to tell him we're not in any way prepared to directly engage him. Malice and an utter disregard for the sanctity of life tend to tip things in his favour, as you might guess." You hear a faint click from somewhere in the darkness overhead, and Ormlek nods as he places his hand on one of the ladder rungs. "That means it's safe," he says. "All right, Sir Cuthbertson, you go first. Don't trust this old thing to hold us both at once." Without hesitation, you firmly grip the ladder, begin a slow and cautious ascent into shadow. "Yes, well, it must be a very fragile ladder if Sir Croakington's extra weight is enough to set it off. But admittedly, that was written under the assumption that you're roughly human weight, because you're human. But the game doesn't know that, but I know that." You climb through a ceiling of the alcove and into a narrow vertical shaft. A faint light from above splashes down the walls of the stone shaft and provides you with some degree of comfort as you continue your ascent into the unknown. Suddenly, you're surrounded by voices, and several arms take hold of your own and hoist you. One set of arms pick me up and hoist you off the ladder and out of the shaft. You're set down on your feet in a small, roughly circular room in the midst of nearly a dozen shadowy figures. "You're among friends," issues a voice from somewhere among the gathered figures. Three bright lamps suddenly flare to life and shower the chamber in a rich golden glow. The figures surrounding you are all young men. At least half of them wear cloth masks that cover their faces beneath their eyes. Ormlek steps out of the shaft, tipping over the ladder in the process. He manages to maintain his balance. He immediately calls for Cyril, and a middle-aged man, his face covered with a red cloth mask, steps forward and meets him with shoulder cross. "So where is it? I didn't climb up that rickety old thing not to lay my eyes upon it," says Ormlek. Ormlek holds up his left hand and proudly displays his thumb and two remaining fingers. "Well, the room has seemed true enough," says Ormlek. "Better than your legs or your head." "You'll be avenged, Cyril. We'll all be avenged soon enough. What have you for me?" Ormlek speaks with Cyril at length, while the other men present introduce themselves to you in turn. Each of the men seems awed by your presence, and you sense that word of your impending arrival long preceded the actual event. You're surprised to discover the men know all about Al's recent passing. You only surmise that word must have been sent ahead somehow, for you still start finding the revelation somewhat startling. Cyril and Ormlek appear at your side, and you learn the rabble lost 7 men in the last 2 nights. Oh, blimey. "We can spare no more men," says Ormlek. "With the dark magic of the enemy polluting the streets above, we can hope for nothing more than sporadic victories that earn us nothing. The Ghost Patrol must be dealt with if we are to embark on the last stage of our tasks. Are you ready to handle those wagons?" The white-haired leader of the Dwindling resistance turns and stares expectantly at Cyril. The masked man nods. "We're going to remove that thorn in the hours before dawn," says Cyril. "I formed four parties of four men each. One party to you with each. The coaches. At tonight, we may just find things tipped a bit in our favour. At least for a time." Armlet turns and places his broad hand on your back. "This is the being who may tip things just a bit further," he says. "It is perhaps the most important role to play in all this. Yet we can't afford not to use her legendary talents on tonight's mission. Perhaps it's about time you learned a bit about what we call the Ghost Patrol." Oh, title drop. Olmec and Cyril launch into a brief but detailed account of what the Wabble has long referred to as the Ghost Patrol of Cardson. You learn that the four coaches, each drawn by a single horse, each without a visible driver, roll through the city in the hours after the city's curfew goes into effect. "These wagons spread the Sorcerer Lord's poisonous magic," says Cyril, interrupting Omlek's wandering account without apology. "Insidious and powerful magic goes to work wherever these coaches pass. Those awake drift into deep slumber. Those asleep find their dreams invaded. The Ghost Patrol is not the source of the magic that keeps the city asleep by night and blinded by day, but is a means to preserve the spell that long ago took hold of Cardson. A spell that makes those it silently possesses fairly opposed to even the mere suggestion that designs both wicked and deep high beneath the malevolent facade of the kindly old Sorcerer King. It's a spell we hope to break, or at the very least, weaken." You ask them how it is they are immune to the effects of the spell. The claim has ensnared the entire city, binding its citizenry to the cruelty and injustice that for 200 years has maintained control of the once glorious city-state. "We're not immune, but we're far more resistant to them we might otherwise be," says Cyril. "Your friend and companion, the Owl, dear brother to us all, we have already found a restful sleep, gave us the means to resist the spell. The Black Elixir, I've been told you drank his, of course, his creation, and in many ways our salvation. You learn that before Owl created the Black Elixir, the Wabble could not stay within the walls of Cardson. Instead, the group launched its attacks against the minions of the Grand Sentry from bases hidden in the rugged terrain that surrounds the city. The Elixir has allowed us to move into the city, to obtain trusted allies among those it has freed from the grasp of the Sorcerer's spell. Without it, all hope would have long ago perished on some lonely hillside miles from here, and this very day might never have dawned. The wagons must be stopped, says Ulrich. We've hardly enough of the elixir left for ourselves, but working to make more. With the Ghost Patrol gone, the task of finding and providing key citizens of this great city with our potion would be possible. With their help, we can begin the final stage of this struggle and turn time and tide against our enemy. Your scrum are taken aback when Cyril approaches you and formally asks you to join him on tonight's endeavour to halt the Ghost Patrol. And you tell him you would be honoured. And he shakes his shoulder across and tells you the honour is his. I know scant details of some of what. You passed through to reach us here, he says, making an obvious reference to your lengthy trek from the shores of Sarngard to Cardson. Okay, how did they find out? I presumably the person we saw spying on me when I got when I was going through the pass from Tysa to Cardson, that seems to be one of them. Because of the whole not immediately trying to kill me thing. Your presence of among us means more to me and my other men than can ever be expressed. Thank you, Sir Grokington. Umlek takes you aside and tells you to take care on the way. I don't care to have your first engagement to the city be one and tell such a high risk, he says. But I wouldn't even consider it if I had not the greatest faith in your abilities. Owl didn't dole out praise where it wasn't warranted. You've come to us bearing his highest esteem. I wish you luck, Sir Crokington. May the All-Father look after to all our brave souls this night. Umlek also tells you that, upon your return, you'll be taken to someone who will reveal to you much of what has thus far remained hidden or obscured. She's a great seer. Currently here in the city, he says. She hides beneath the very nose of a foe that would undoubtedly... The foe, of course, being the Grand Sentry, who's looking to be the big bad of this. Hides very nose of a foe that would undoubtedly delight in her destruction if he knew the meddlesome part she's played in thwarting some of his best laid designs. She has become the key to what may prove to be our final endeavour, and perhaps our very last strand of hope. Cyril steps to your side, and then Umlek tells you must set out at once. Grib and Alalak will be with us, he tells the white-haired leader of the rabble. We'll see an end put to the Ghost Patrol. Umlek wishes you both luck, but wants you to take flight if things go wrong. Destroying the wagons is a victory like no other, he says. But I need the living and breathing for the last stage of this. Cyril nods, and you bid Umlek farewell. Before you head for the tunnels that will take you out of the latest of the Wabble's hidden lairs, Cyril hands you a blue cloth mask and helps you fashion it so it covers your entire face below the eyes. We don't go anywhere near the streets without wearing one, he says. To be recognised as a member of the Wabble is to stick your head into a hangman's noose. You leave the hidden lair in the company of Cyril, and not far along the first tunnel, you're joined by Anorak and Gurib, two veteran members of the Wabble. Cyril introduces you, and both men seem genuinely honoured to be in your presence. We'll be after the wagon that patrols the eastern side of the city, says Cyril. His explanation of the impending endeavour only truly a benefit to you. A riderless dragon? Driverless wagon that enjoys spreading its poison is going to find itself in for a rough spot tonight. Wouldn't you say so, Anorak? Anorak glances at Cyril and nods. As you proceed through the tunnels that run beneath the city seats, Cyril tells you that he has been in Cardson for 5 long years. That's all of those the Wabble counted among... And that all of those the Wabble counted among its ranks when he arrived, only 7 remain. New faces have been brought in from places far and wide, he says. But the heart of the resistance has grown tired. It's been a bitter, brutal fight, he says. Anorak and Grib can easily tell you that much. Our pleas for help from outside have largely gone unheard. And, as you've seen yourself, the moment we seem to gain a foothold on this treacherous slope, it all comes crumbling down around us. Owl's death has set us back, perhaps irreparably, and Orlon's passing was a staggering blow. But we got you, says Gurib, nudging you on his shoulder. I never figured some like you would find us who's caught up with this. But then it's not just Karzen's fight, is it? If we don't end it here, there's not going to be any place one could hope to run and find safety. The sort of tunnel you're following begins to slope upwards, and smaller passages begin branching off from it at semi-regular intervals. Cyril seems unaffected by the sudden maze of tunnels. "We're almost up to the switch," he says. "No more talking." Cyril leads the three of you up and out of the tunnels and into an alley that's barely wide enough to fit two men abreast. Not much of a problem for Sir Crokington, though. You just jump on their heads. Following him swiftly through a succession of deserted lanes and twisted streets brings you at last to the back door of a cooper's place. Alolak fiddles with the lock and gains the four of you entry into the small but well-ordered establishment. In total darkness, you make your way to the front of the shop, where Cyril tells you to await for the arrival of the Ghost Patrol. The cloth mask that covers your face, which started out as an annoyance, has become almost unbearable. Still, despite the discomfort, you dare not even adjust it, fearing it may fall off and leave you without a disguise that's obviously prized by your companions. I think it's still pretty obvious who Sir Crokington is. I mean, there's not that many other talking toads about. But maybe there is. I mean, you know what wizards are like, always turning people into toads. Two of us will waylay the coach when it arrives, says Cyril. The other two will slip up and put these inside. She holds up a pair of earthenware orbs and hands one to you and Greb. You carefully study the strange object. The earthenware orb will not appear as an item in your inventory. One of these will destroy the wagon if placed inside of it, he says, looking at each of you in turn. We've all got one. So if any luck, one of us will be able to get theirs into the coach. There's a window at the back which may prove to be the most accessible spot. You ask Cyril how the orbs will bring about the destruction of the wagon. Alaric will see to that, he says. He's to stay at the side of the lane. I'll stop the coach, and the two of you will come up from behind it. We've never tried to stop the patrol before, so we'll need to be ready for anything. If things go awry, we flee. I have no intention of dying tonight. The time creeps by as you sit in the dark of the cooper's shop with your three companions. You speak in a mix of low tones and whispers, while nervously awaiting the arrival of the driverless wagon. Cyril seems particularly ill at knees and rises from time to time to crack open the door and peer along the deserted street. At almost 2 hours, the tense vigil, is broken by the sudden and unmistakable sound of the wagon's wheels turning into the lane. The four of you swiftly rise and wait with bated breath for the arrival of your anticipated target. Silently, you follow the others as they slip out of the door and onto the darkened street. Cyril whispers reminders to each of you as the sound of those approaching the wagon grow louder and more pronounced. Alaric, you're to stay here. I'll head off, he says. Sir Crokington, you and Grib will move up from behind. Get those orbs into the back of it. If all else fails, roll it under. When you've done it, don't linger. Get back to this spot and make for that ally. Alaric, when we're on his way out back here, that's when you'll do your part. Alright, so I guess there's some sort of remotely detonated explodey thing. Because of magic, I guess. Cyril points to a narrow space between the cooper's shop and the adjacent stone building. There's the alley. Wait now, here it comes. Wait now. Not until my word. You watch with fascination and horror as a small coach drawn by a single horse rolls slowly into view, heading east along the lane. A thin, but discernible grey mist seeps out of the wagon, filling the air with a soft haze as it proceeds steadily in your direction. A sweet aroma seems to accompany the mist.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make high-quality clothing for a summer wardrobe you'll love, all made right here in the USA. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
As described to you, there is no driver aboard the coach. I mean, it might just be a very well-trained horse. You know, like some sort of Sergeant Reckless sort of thing. But, you know, working for the bad guys. Or maybe some of the spells of the Sorcerer Lord. Probably a bit of both. Now, this is Cyril, as he and Alex step off in front of the wagon, with your heart pounding. You dart off into the shadows and move up towards the rear of the passing wagon. Grub trails only a few yards behind. The slow rolling wagon lurches to a stop as Cyril and Alaric step boldly out into the street in front of it. As you move swiftly up to the back of the wagon, your eyes focus on a small window set high into its rear wall. You can hear Cyril speaking in a soothing tone to the horse. Gurib draws up to your side and glances at you, his white hand clutching the earthenware orb given to you by Cyril. You tighten your grip on the orb in your grasp, and you begin covering the last few yards that separate you from the back of the wagon. Suddenly, a gust of warm air surges out of the window at the back of the coach, striking you with enough force to knock you off your feet. Gurib cries out in alarm and drops his orb as a mighty blast of air spins him around. The wind resumes course and howls past you again before assuming a new and deadly form. You fall back and gaze in horror as two massive fire elementals rapidly take form out of the searing wind. You immediately recognise these fearsome flame beings to be the same sort that were responsible for the grisly destruction of Dick Bearpath Lodge and the deaths of Orlan, his wife, and others. Grub steps forward to engage the foremost of the elementals, but is immediately enveloped by the blazing creature. His ghastly death cry echoes along the deserted street, filling you with anger and dread. Oh, not even started and we already have a death. A pair of towering elementals turn and stride in your direction. Realizing you must somehow attempt to get your orb into the coach, your mind races as you try to determine your next course of action. Okay, so I've got some options. Attack the fire elementals, attempt to reach the back of the wagon, and flee immediately. There's no way to get any hints about which one's better. So once again, I shall be turning to random.org. So number between 1 and 3. 2. Attempt to reach the back of the wagon. You attempt to determine how best to try and place the earthenware orb you're following into the coach. Plenty of options here. Feathery, illusion, gating, shadow magic, all at level 70 plus. Fight the fire elementals. It'll probably be a lot easier to concentrate without them trying to kill me. And also they'll probably try to kill someone else, if I'd even be. I could flee immediately. Or just attempt to toss the orb through the coach window. Alright, number between 1 and 8. Pick again. Number 5. Telekinesis. Succeeded. 24 experience of telekinesis. You channel your power of telekinesis and use it to levitate the earthenware orb. Then, with only a small bit of projected force, you send the dense object hurtling through the air and directly through the window set into the back wall of the coach. With the orb now safely placed inside the wagon, you rush across the street towards the alley. Alright, okay, now we can just detonate it. And there we go, mission accomplished. 64 XP to general. You reach the far side of the alley and are joined by Cyril and out at the mouth of the alley. Labarc opens his mouth and is about to speak when a massive explosion from behind you shakes the ground and causes your heart to skip two beats. The blast wall reverberates along the twisted, deserted lane. You turn to see tall crimson flames and a column of thick black smoke rising up from the charred remains of the wagon. "For Greb!" cries Alnok, his grime-streaked face betraying no discernible motion. "Come on, let's go. That was either mine or yours," says Cyril, stepping over your sides as Alnok departs along the narrow alley. "I rolled well under the front of it. But, as you can see, I'm not without a heart." He points along the street, and about 50 yards from the scene of the terrible blast, you spot a horse that drew the coach, trotting away at a steady clip. "Bye-bye, horse. I'd have taken it with us if we had some place to keep it," he says, his voice rising to combat the loud crackle of the blaze now consuming the wagon's remnants. "Come on. Old Alnok has the right idea. Let's go. Look, we should be fleeing now. It's already those two gigantic fire monsters. And who knows what else they're hiding in there. And surely a big explosion like this will send the roust men running. But admittedly, they're not that much of a deal. The roust men, and more importantly, definitely some of those Cesar will probably come slithering in. More of those fire elementals. Maybe a few of those constructs are hiding around. Maybe even one of the witches themselves if we tally too long. I don't know if the Grand Sentry himself will make an appearance. Seems like the kind of guy that likes to, you know, arrange the pieces on the board to go in his manner. And not, you know, actively step in, except when things are really dire. And of course his plans are so intricate and well ordered that things never even get close to that bad. So you can just sit on his elder throne or whatever it is that he sits on and plot world domination or whatever. Not quite sure what his ultimate pat scheme is. Cyril's eyes suddenly widen and he thrusts out for stretched finger in the direction of the burning coach. You look to where he's pointing, your heart sinks. Rising up out of the flames that have enveloped the wreckage are three large fire elementals. The trio of flaming beings surge towards you at a speed you cannot hope to outrun. Okay, now we can't flee. So we might as well fight. I mean, it's a slim chance of survival for all of us. But for me, very good chance because I'm really good at fighting. Standing almost shoulder to shoulder with Cyril, you pull yourself into defensive stance and prepare to engage the first elemental to reach you. Not like this! They won't have us! Cries Cyril through clenched teeth. Not like this! It's a blazing fire elemental. Begin combat! The fearsome fire elemental blazes brightly as it strikes out at you. And I swing my club at it. Gonna put it out. Engulfed by the flames of your enemy's attack for 19 damage. And now go into battle rage. This is for Galeric. Oh, whatever his name was. Engulfed by the flames, your enemy's attack for 22 again. Keep going, Smasher wallops it. Burn for 21. It is slain, but will it stay slain? We shall see. 136 XP. A ghastly howl rises in the air as the blazing elemental vanishes, leaving only a thick column of pungent grey smoke in its wake. You immediately find yourself engaged with the second of the fearsome fiery beings. It's another blazing fire elemental. Begin combat. You're engulfed by the flames, you've only your attack for 22 damage. Keep going, flamed again, and then again, 20 damage that time. Flame for 24, and then 21. Lots of specials here. Flamed again for 26, and slain. Bit of healing directly after that. 136 experience, and now I can take the opportunity to do some quick healing. Taken. Two wailing howls soar into the dark sky as both you and Cyril dispatch your elemental foes almost simultaneously. You fall back to avoid the thick smoke that billows in their wake, and about to turn and head for the alley, when a thin, fierce, deafening inferno momentarily drowns out the crackle of the nearby inferno. Your gaze sweeps back from the burning wagon. Rising out of the flaming wreckage is a massive fire elemental formed in the likeness of a hideous serpent. Run! By the Allfather, run! Says Cyril as he falls back along the alley. Without warning, the fire serpent stretches wide its blazing jaws and lunges down at you. Okay, I don't have time to flee, so I can use elementalism, fortification, or shadow magic, all at level 70 plus. Shadow magic has the greatest chance of success because I previously leveled it to level 80, so I could do a certain thing in Hawklaw. Or I could just dodge. Random.org, once again. Number 3, shadow magic. Succeeded. 24 experience of shadow magic. A lone whisper passes through your thoughts as the shadows created by the fire serpent's flickering light rapidly knit themselves into a web of gloom before you. The serpent's head ploughs into a shadowy net and is forcefully repelled. The fearsome beast of flame quickly recoils. Your timely and successful summoning of magic has spared you the wrath of the fiery serpent's deadly attack. Thank you, shadows! Yeah, you know, I said you should thank your elementals. I'm even more firm about that, about thanking your shadows. Because, shadows do what they want. I mean, that was the whole point of Proving Ground 5. You don't control the shadows. You just influence them, and are influenced back, most assuredly. The Serpent of Fire draws back. Its bulky, flame-horned head, and hisses as it prepares to strike down. You realize at once you must either hold your ground against this menace or flee at once. Cyril's desperate cries suddenly reach your ears, rising above the wall, the blazing serpent. This way! Run! Run! Hold your ground, engage the serpent of flame, or flee immediately. You know what? I'm going to fight it. You know, I've had enough nonsense with fire monsters. I want to smash them all with the spruce smasher. Hold your ground and engage the serpent of flame. A shrill hiss issues forth from the gaping mouth of the serpent of flame as the fearsome elemental creature lunges at you, shooting out its long neck of fire as it attempts to envelop and consume you. Serpent of flame, let us begin combat! Fire erupts all around you as the serpent of flame strikes. Keep going, you're engulfed by the flames. You've only attacked for 26 damage. I just rolled a 20. That was nice. Oh, I go into battle rage. I'm so angry. Stop trying to kill people and all that. And I finish it off with the battle rage. It is slain. 267 experience. The enchantment of metal and devastation both helped here. Your victory over the fearsome spirit serpent of fire leaves Cyril's mouth agape as he stares at you with an awestruck inspection. "If it had a dozen more like you," he cries, stepping into the light. "Come, we cannot remain here." No sooner have the words left his lips than four more of the fire elementals spring forth from the blaze that now consumes the wagon. I mean, were the elementals always there in the wagon? Or were they created as a side effect of it being burnt? You know, just in case. Just in case. If anyone tries to blow up this wagon, they're gonna get some fire elementals. Or did he know just have them as tiny, tiny fire elementals? You know, just little tiny things. Bug-sized. And when there's fire, they went whoop and get regular size again. They just slurp up the fire and go to regular size. Could be either. You sprint across the lane and follow Cyril into the alley. You rush along the alley shoulder to shoulder with Cyril, moving away from the scene of your attack. You've covered less than 15 yards when Anorak's piercing shriek from somewhere in the darks ahead makes your blood run cold. Together, you sprint to the end of the alley and turn to the narrow lane just in time to see Anorak drop to the ground as his body is consumed by a raging blaze. Oh, there's nothing I could even try to do. So you're grass, and the two of you step back as four large fire elementals rise out of the charred remains of your fallen companion. The fearsome beings of flame surge towards you, their blazing limbs outstretched before them. You bravely step forward and approach the first of the two elementals, leaving the remaining pair for Cyril. I mean, Cyril is good, but is he good enough? Blazing fire elemental, one of two, begin combat. The fearsome fire elemental blazes brightly as it strikes out at you. Gulf by flames 24. Keep going. Gulf by flames 23. Bashy. Gulf by flames again. What, 18 maybe? Didn't actually pay attention to the number. Just kept clicking aggressive. It is slain. 137 XP. The first elemental dissolves into a thick, billowing column of smoke. You step forward and boldly engage the second of your flaming foes. Blazing fire elemental, 2 of 2, begin combat. 2 of 2 for now. I mean, with these people around, they always seem to have more of these elementals around. Or maybe they'll come back. Fearsome fire elemental blazes brightly as it strikes out at you. Engulfed by the flames of your enemy's attack for 25 damage, then 18 damage. I'm going to roll a 20. Quickstone 20. Yes. Probably didn't need that, but still. Nearly done and slain. 265 experience. The elemental vanishes with a howl, leaving only a thick column of grey smoke in its wake. You turn to your right and spot Cyril struggling to fend off the last of the fiery beings, which meant he dealt with one of them on his own, which is really impressive for someone who doesn't have about 1,000 different boosts going on. Okay, maybe not 1,000, more like 100. Without hesitation, you leap to his side and take over the fight, striking out savagely at blazing foes. Blazing fire elemental. Gulfed by the flames for 23. Smasher wallops it. Looks like he's taking a breath. He's not. Doesn't seem to be attacking it while it's distracted with me, but maybe he's caught up with something else. Gulfed by the flames for his attack for 17 damage, then 22 damage. Then it is slain. That was just 11 rounds. 39 XP. Ah, yes, it must have been quite weakened. You stagger backwards as the elemental being suddenly vanishes, leaving behind only a thin trail of smoke that rises into the dark pre-dawn sky. Cyril, nursing his left hand, which was badly singed in the encounter, thanks you. At once the two of you set along the alley. Despite having lost two companions on the raid, there was little time to reflect on it. Cyril seems unaffected by the loss, as you move swiftly along at his heels, following him through a maze of narrow streets and twisting alleys. You suddenly realise he's doubling back to the scene of the attack on the wagon. You arrive at the mouth of the alley and are once assailed by the pungent odour of smoke. Peering into the broader lane, you spot the burning wagon dozens of yards to your left. The thick smoke rising up through the shattered wreckage fills much of the street. Well, it is done, says Cyril. As you stand staring along the deserted smoke-filled street, the distant toiling of a bell unexpectedly fills you with dread. Cyril turns to you and tells you the bell is only sounding the arrival of the hour. Phew, they haven't caught anyone. Who is quick to agree it is a lonely, haunting sound. Isn't it like our enemies so readily reveal themselves, he says. Only when they are protecting something of great importance, or seeking to cripple others with a devastating strike to their peer in their true form, beings of fire we just encounters. It appears our attack on the wagons may have landed them a staggering blow. Even should the setback prove only temporary for them. You tell Cyril, that once you have encountered such fiery beings, the burning of Bear Path Lodge, where Orlan and others met their fate. Your companion nods solemnly. I was saddened to learn of his passing, he says. At one time, our ranks boasted Orlan, Owl, and Omwek. We have only Omwek now, of course. But we're not yet utterly without hope. After all, we're now proud to count you among us. Suddenly, a stabbing pain shoots through your head as you feel violently ill. Your vision blurs, and for a moment, the sounds of the outside world are replaced by a loud, drowning buzz. The unpleasant sensation rapidly passes, and in a few moments, the effects it induced have all but disappeared. Cyril steps forward and thanks you, and helps you retain your footing. It is for that reason we're thankful for the elixir, he says, obviously referring to the swirling black liquid in the vial that was given to you by Olmec. We can all thank Al for that. He was truly remarkable. Cyril tells you the elixir wards off the effects of the dark magic employed by the Grand Sentry's minions. The very magic that keeps the populace of Cardsan at bay. You ask Cyril what the sensation means. It tells you that it's likely that Rousemen are closing in. They're coming to see what halted the wagon. For I dare say they've already guessed. Come on, let's go. We do ourselves no favours by lingering here. With that, the two of you set off on your return to Egg. The news of the deaths of Anarch and Greer were met with silence from the half dozen men gathered in the new lair that houses what remains of the rabble. Anarch is pleased to learn of the destruction of the wagons, but the loss of the valued members tempers any elation that might have otherwise been moved to display. The white-haired leader of the rabble takes Cyril aside and speaks with him. The colour drains from Cyril's face as he listens to what Ormec has to depart. When the discussion is ended, Ormec moves over to you and Cyril departs, presumably to embark on another task he's just been given him. The pieces have been put in place, Ormec, as he draws up to you. But the cost was high. We have paid dearly for what amounts to our last great hope. I will now take you to the sea I have spoken of. Keep those journals safe. She will most certainly wish to lay her hands upon them. You learn that 7 of the 12 men that took part in the waves on the Ghost Patrol did not return. All 4 wagons were targeted were destroyed. But Ormec does not seem to conclude the mission was a success. If destroying the wagons and focusing the attention of our enemy on the streets was the only measure of victory, then we have succeeded beyond all hope, he says. He says, the loss of 7 of our number hit us hard, though, and leaves us with no room for mistakes, dwindling prospects. We must reach the seer, you and I. There's no time for delay. Ormec walks over to the archway to the east side of the chamber and pauses. He speaks in a hushed tone to the 2 men standing nearby, and they swiftly depart. The seer is under our own protection. It's not certain we'll be considered welcome guests, he says. Says the revelation surprising you. She and those surrounding her are not necessarily sympathetic to our cause. All the affairs of this world, I'm afraid to say, concern her only in passing. She is, however, no ally of our enemy. At the very least, we have that. All right. So this seer. This seer is fighting on a far grander scale. Far grander scale than the revolutionaries of one city state, or even the fate of one world. Whoa. I think things have just stepped up to a whole new level of seriousness. Ormec turns and glances around at the chamber before moving into the passage beyond the arch. You quickly follow. As you step through the arch and into the shadowy passage, you bump into 2 masked men moving out of the dark tunnel. You instinctively apologize, and one of the men nods in response, patting you on the back as he passes. The other, taller than the first, his eyes turn intently fixed on you, seems about to speak, but he suddenly turns and continues into the room. You glance back at him, but you are quickly forced to return your attention to the tunnel you're entering as you hurry to keep up with Ormec. Not for the first or last time, your thoughts drift away, fluttering far away from the dark passages, the ravaged, desperate men, and the fire and death served as your disheartening first glimpses of Skardzen. Images of Sarngard Isle, of the stark silhouette of its imposing keep, of the sinister masked face of the Fane whose fortress it has become, and of the star-filled sire that heralded the outset of your long and perilous mission, all pass through your thoughts in the blink of an eye. Your mind swiftly returns to the present, as you move up to the side of your silent companion. Help the seer, of whom Ormec has spoken so highly, be able to make plain that which others have thus far only hinted at. Perhaps then you'll be able to both finally align both your heart and mind with the struggle, the outcome of which you're beginning to think will have severe and lasting consequences that reach far beyond the walls of the Sorcerer Lord's city. And that is the end of this scenario. We get 3,072 experience to general and 384 experience to all skills and powers. That is very nice. You're getting so much experience for doing this. So much. I think by the end we're going to be talking more than 100,000 to general. Yes, and that's definitely useful. Your victory has been recorded. And that brings my current score to 93%. 14 victories in 15 attempts. The next scenario is called A Seer in Shadow. But we're very close to an hour, so that will have to wait until next time. And until then, farewell, fellow adventurers.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Fall's here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.